100% digital. Euer Podcast rund um Digital Marketing. Präsentiert von 100 Digital, der Online-Marketing-Agentur aus dem Herzen Berlins.
Welcome everyone. Today we're diving deep into the mind-blowing tech coming out of SXSW 2025.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, it is. We've got Now Firth's report fresh off the festival presses. And it highlights 10 innovations that are poised to reshape, well, everything. We're talking tech with the power to completely transform entire industries.
Wow.
And of course, our lives right alongside them. So buckle up and get ready to glimpse into the future.
I'm ready. What do we got?
Well, first up, we're heading to the Chilean mountains, where the Varisi Rubin Observatory is going to like redefine how we understand the cosmos.
The cosmos.
Yeah. You see, it's got this massive 8.4 meter telescope, which is impressive on its own.
Yeah, for sure.
But pair that with the world's largest digital camera.
Okay.
And you've got a recipe for scientific discovery on a scale we've never seen before.
That's a big claim.
Yeah.
What's so special about this camera?
Well, for starters, it's a 3.2 gigapixel beast.
Right.
That's over 3,000 megapixels. And it's going to be capturing 20 terabytes of data every single night. To put that into perspective, that's like downloading the entire Library of Congress every few hours.
That's a crazy amount of data. What are they hoping to find in all of that?
Well, the Rubin Observatory is on a mission to map the universe in unprecedented detail. The aim is to shed some light on dark matter and dark energy.
The big mysteries of the universe.
Exactly. These enigmatic forces make up like the vast majority of the universe, but we still don't fully understand what they are or how they work.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to think that everything we can see, you know, stars, galaxies, planets,
yeah,
all that represents only a tiny fraction of what's actually out there.
Yeah. I know. It's humbling, isn't it?
Definitely. And who knows what surprises are hidden in all that data.
Mm-hmm.
New galaxies, supernovae, maybe even clues to the ultimate fate of the universe.
I'm on the edge of my seat already.
Me too.
But let's shift gears a little bit from the mysteries of the universe to something a bit more down to earth, like searching for information online. Remember those days of scrolling through endless pages of Google results?
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to find that one relevant bit of information? What if you could just ask a question and get a clear, concise answer instantly?
Without clicking on a single link.
Without clicking a single link.
Now, that would be a game changer.
Right. Well, that's the promise of generative AI in search. Companies like Google and Microsoft are integrating AI that can write summaries for you.
Really?
Pulling from multiple sources and delivering what they're calling a zero-click experience.
So instead of being bombarded with links, you get this neatly written summary right at the top of the page.
Exactly. It sounds convenient.
Super convenient. But doesn't that raise some questions about how we consume and interact with information online?
Definitely. Like, what happens to websites and news organizations if people stop clicking on links? I mean, they rely on those clicks for revenue and visibility.
Right. And what about the potential for bias? If we're relying on AI to summarize information, who's ensuring that those summaries are accurate and impartial?
It's a whole new set of challenges, and it highlights how quickly technology can change things in ways we don't always anticipate.
Absolutely. And speaking of AI, while these tech giants are building these huge AI models, there's also something called small language models, or SLMs.
SLMs, so like miniature versions of the AI that power those search summaries.
You could say that. SLMs are more focused and efficient, designed for specific tasks, and they don't require the same level of processing power as their larger counterparts.
So it's less about one AI trying to do everything and more about having specialized AIs that are experts in their domains.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what kind of things could we use these SLMs for?
Well, imagine AI that could summarize legal documents.
Okay.
Or run smoothly on your smartphone, or help doctors diagnose diseases and long days without needing to send your data to the cloud.
Hold on. So all that processing power is happening right there on the device.
That's right.
Wow. That's huge for both privacy and accessibility.
Exactly. SLMs have the potential to bring the power of AI to individuals and smaller organizations. It's like having a personalized AI assistant right in your pocket.
I like the sound of that. Now, for something that might seem completely unrelated, but actually has huge implications for climate change. Cowburps.
Cowburps.
You heard that right, cowburps.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Well, it might sound funny, but it's a serious issue. Livestock, particularly cattle, emit methane through their digestion, and it's a potent greenhouse gas contributing to global warming.
I knew cattle farming wasn't great for the environment, but I never realized cow burps were such a big part of the problem.
They are. So what do we do about it? Put muzzles on all the cows?
Not quite. Although there's a company called Zelp that is developing a methane capturing mask for cows.
Seriously?
Yeah, it fits over their nostrils and converts the methane into CO2 and water vapor.
Wow, that's actually pretty ingenious. But what about addressing the problem at the source? You know, the cow's digestive system.
There's been research into that as well. One solution is a feed additive called 3NOP. It's a synthetic compound that can reduce methane emissions by about 30%.
30%? That's a pretty significant reduction.
It is. And there's also a natural alternative. Adding red seaweed to cattle feed has been shown to reduce methane emissions by a whopping 80%.
80%? Why aren't we feeding all cows seaweed right now?
Well, there are challenges. Like, sourcing enough red seaweed to feed millions of cows worldwide is a logistical hurdle. And of course, it needs to be cost-effective for farmers.
Right, of course.
But the potential is there, and researchers are working hard to make it a reality.
It's amazing how technology can play a role in addressing climate change, even in unexpected ways like seaweed-munching cows.
It really highlights how interconnected everything is and how important it is to explore innovative solutions, no matter how unconventional they might seem.
So true. Okay, are you ready to hop into a driverless taxi and see where this deep dive takes us next?
Lead the way.
Okay, so we've seen how AI is changing how we look for information online and how seaweed can be a surprising weapon against climate change. But now let's talk about something a bit heavier, literally. Steel production. As you know, it's a huge contributor to global emissions, but there's a new kid on the block, green steel.
Yeah, green steel is really interesting. It's not about just like tweaking the existing process. It's about completely changing it to eliminate carbon emissions.
That's ambitious. So how do they plan to make that happen?
Well, there are two main approaches, each with its pros and cons. The first is hydrogen direct reduction. Basically, you use green hydrogen produced from renewable energy sources to replace coal when you extract iron from iron ore.
So instead of producing CO2, the byproduct is just water vapor.
Exactly. Huge environmental win.
Are there any companies already doing this on a large scale?
Definitely. There's H2 Green Steel in Sweden. They're building this massive plant that's going to produce millions of tons of green steel every year.
That's impressive. What about that second approach you mentioned?
Right. That one's called molten oxide electrolysis. It's a bit more complicated, but basically it uses electricity to directly separate iron from iron ore, again, with no carbon emissions. It's like a giant electrified steelmaking process.
Electrified steelmaking? It sounds so futuristic. Are there companies working on this too?
Oh, yeah. A company called Boston Metal is a big player in this space. They have a pilot plant up and running and are working on scaling up. What's interesting is that these two approaches could actually have a big impact on global trade.
Really? How so?
Well, think about it. Countries with a lot of renewable energy resources could become major producers of green steel. It could totally shift the balance of power in the industry.
That makes sense. It really shows how sustainability can actually drive economic change.
For sure.
Okay, let's shift gears again to a field that has always held so much promise, stem cell therapies. It feels like we're on the cusp of some major breakthroughs.
What we're seeing now is regenerative medicine actually living up to its potential. Scientists can grow specific types of cells from stem cells and use them to treat a whole range of diseases. And the results are incredible.
So it's not just theory anymore, we're talking about real results.
Exactly.
Can you give us some examples of the diseases that are being treated successfully with stem cell therapies?
Well, one of the most exciting areas is type 1 diabetes. They figured out how to create insulin-producing beta cells from stem cells and transplant them into patients. It basically restores their ability to regulate blood sugar. No more daily insulin injections.
Wow, that's life-changing for so many people. What other diseases are showing promise?
The list is growing all the time, but some notable ones are epilepsy, heart failure, Parkinson's disease, even macular degeneration. It's amazing to see how wide-ranging the applications are.
It feels like we're entering a new era of medicine where we can actually repair and regenerate damaged tissues and organs.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
But I imagine there are still challenges to overcome, right?
Of course. Safety is a big one. We need to be absolutely sure that these transplanted cells don't have unintended consequences, like causing tumors or triggering immune rejection.
Right. So safety first. What else?
Cost and complexity are major factors. Manufacturing these stem cell therapies is a very delicate and expensive process, and not every healthcare system is equipped to deliver them effectively. And then there's the question of access and equity. We need to make sure that everyone who needs these treatments can get them, not just the wealthy.
That's a good point. Even with these groundbreaking advancements, we have to consider the social and economic factors at play. Speaking of groundbreaking advancements, let's move on to a technology that feels straight out of science fiction. Personalized medicine.
Personalized medicine is all about moving away from that one-size-fits-all approach to healthcare and really embracing what makes each individual unique.
So treatments that are tailored to your specific genetic makeup, maximizing effectiveness and minimizing side effects.
Exactly.
So walk me through this. How would personalized medicine actually work in practice?
Imagine you give a blood sample and scientists analyze your entire genome. This reveals your unique predispositions to certain diseases and how your body might react to different medications.
So it's like having a personalized health blueprint.
Exactly. And it guides all your treatment decisions.
That's incredible. What are some of the advancements that have made this possible?
One of the biggest game changers has been the drop in the cost of genetic sequencing. What used to cost millions of dollars can now be done for a fraction of the price. So now personalized medicine is more accessible to a much wider population.
That's great news. Are there any companies leading the way in this field?
There are tons of companies working on different aspects of personalized medicine. Some are developing new diagnostic tools. Others are creating tailored treatment plans based on individual genetic profiles. It's a rapidly evolving field with so much potential.
It really makes you think about a future where healthcare is truly personalized and proactive, preventing diseases before they even develop. Now for our final stop on this SXSW deep dive, we're going to look at the fight against cancer. What breakthroughs are giving us new hope in this area?
One of the most promising areas is immunotherapy. It uses the body's own immune system to fight cancer cells.
So instead of using harsh chemicals or radiation, we're training the immune system to recognize and destroy cancer cells.
Exactly. And one really exciting approach is Histo-R T cell therapy. Basically, they take a patient's own immune cells, modify them to target cancer cells, and then infuse them back into the patient.
Okay, that sounds incredibly complex. Can you break it down a little?
It starts with T cells, a type of white blood cell that's crucial for immunity. These T cells are taken from the patient's blood and genetically engineered to produce special receptors called CARs.
And what do these CARs do?
They act like guided missiles, designed to recognize specific proteins on the surface of cancer cells. Once the T cells are equipped with these cancer-targeting CARs, they're multiplied in the lab and then infused back into the patient.
So these supercharged T cells are now in the patient's body, searching out and destroying cancer cells. It's pretty remarkable. What kind of results are we seeing with this?
It's still relatively new, but the results so far have been really impressive, particularly for some blood cancers like leukemia and lymphoma. In some cases, patients who had run out of other treatment options have experienced complete remission.
That's incredible. It sounds like a real game changer. But are there any downsides or challenges with this therapy?
Like any powerful treatment, the CAR T cell therapy can have some serious side effects. And it's also very expensive, which means it's not accessible to everyone.
So there's still work to do to make it more widely available. But the progress is really inspiring. It gives us a reason to be hopeful about the future of cancer treatment.
Absolutely. All these innovations we've discussed, from green steel to stem cell therapies to personalized medicine, it all points toward a future where we can overcome some of humanity's biggest challenges.
It's exciting to think about.
It really is an exciting time to be alive. Who knows what incredible breakthroughs are just around the corner.
Well, that brings us to the end of part two of our SXSW deep dive. It's been an amazing journey so far. So we've covered some pretty amazing innovations in this deep dive, like universe mapping telescopes, AI that can write like a human, and robots that understand what we say.
Yeah, we've seen the potential of green steel stem cell therapies that are giving new hope to patients and the rise of personalized medicine.
It's been a wild ride so far, and we're not done yet. Our last stop on this SXSW duck dive is going to take us into a revolutionary new approach to fighting cancer.
This is a topic that touches so many lives, and the breakthroughs we're seeing in immunotherapy are really offering new reasons to be optimistic.
Immunotherapy, it sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. Can you explain what it is and why it's so revolutionary?
Well, it's a totally different way of thinking about cancer treatment. Instead of attacking cancer cells directly with like harsh chemicals or radiation, immunotherapy uses the body's own immune system to fight the disease.
So we're basically training the immune system to recognize and destroy cancer cells.
Exactly. And one of the most exciting approaches in immunotherapy is CAR T cell therapy.
Okay, I've heard of key cell therapy, but I'm not really sure how it works.
It is a bit complex, but I'll try to simplify it. Okay. Basically, they take a patient's own T cells, which are a type of white blood cell that's really important for immunity.
Okay.
And these T cells are then genetically modified in a lab to produce these special receptors called chimeric antigen receptors, or CARs.
CARs. So these are like little weapons that the T cells use to target the cancer cells.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Mm. These CARs are designed to recognize specific proteins that are found on the surface of cancer cells. So once the T cells are equipped with these cancer-targeting CARs, they're multiplied in the lab and then infused back into the patient.
So you have these supercharged T cells circulating in the patient's body, seeking out and destroying cancer cells. That's amazing. What kind of results are we seeing with this therapy?
It's a relatively new treatment, but the results have been pretty remarkable so far, especially for certain types of blood cancers like leukemia and lymphoma. We're seeing cases where patients who had exhausted all other treatment options have actually experienced complete remission thanks to CAR T cell therapy.
That gives so much hope to people. But I imagine there are some challenges associated with this kind of cutting edge treatment as well.
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest challenges is that CAR T cell therapy can sometimes cause really severe side effects.
Mm.
As the immune system ramps up its attack on cancer cells, it can sometimes kind of overdo it.
Right.
And it's also a really expensive treatment, which unfortunately limits its accessibility for a lot of patients.
It sounds like there's still some work to do to refine this therapy and make it more available to everyone who needs it. But the progress is incredible. It gives us reason to believe that we really can win the fight against cancer.
I agree. All the innovations we've talked about in this deep dive, from the Vera Rubin Observatory to CAR T cell therapy, they all show how incredible human ingenuity is and that we can tackle some of the biggest challenges facing our world.
It's been a truly inspiring journey through all these cutting-edge technologies, and it leaves me feeling really optimistic about the future.
You know, the key is to make sure that these innovations are developed responsibly and benefit all of humanity.
That's a crucial point. As we embrace all these amazing possibilities that technology offers, we need to be very mindful of the impact that it has on society and on the environment.
We need to work towards a future where technology helps us to create a more sustainable and equitable world, a world where it serves the greater good.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the future. We hope you've enjoyed exploring these groundbreaking innovations with us and that you'll continue learning about the incredible world around us.
And remember, the future isn't something that just happens to us. It's something that we create together.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for listening.
Das war 100% Digital. Euer Podcast rund Digital Marketing. Ihr habt weitere Fragen oder sucht Unterstützung bei eurem digitalen Marketing? Dann besucht uns auf 100.digital. Den Link findet ihr auch in den Shownotes.